Welcome to the Nashville Access Podcast with Dallas and Camel.
With Dallas and Camel.
These guys aren't just playing the music, they're fans of country music too. Dallas leans a little more contemporary and Camel's a little more traditional. And every week the guys bring you commentary on the latest happenings in country music, news on your favorite country artists, interviews with all the stars and more. Now, here's Dallas and Camel.
Didn't even make it a week and a half for my resolutions. Didn't even make it a week and a half, dude.
You say that like you're surprising yourself.
I am surprising myself. I set the bar low, and I still missed it. It's the equivalent of playing that, what is that game where you have to go into the stick? What is it called?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? We have to bend over backwards and go into the stick. This would be like if the stick limbo. Was the baseball. Limbo. It'd be, this was the equivalent. I set the bar so that it was the height of a basketball net. Yeah. I should be able to walk under it, and I still missed it in a week and a half. I already ate a waffle. My resolution was no sugar for the next 2 months.
Well, nope. The waffle in and of itself really isn't that bad.
No, but it was the mountain of syrup that I put on top of it. Maple syrup is my enemy, yet my passion.
We won't even get into that. I mean, my diet has changed so much.
Dude, you look like you've lost a fifth grader.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't noticed this, listen, go jump on our at Nashville Access, any social media page, and scroll back on the pictures of Camo and I, and look at Camo a year ago, year and a half ago to now. And what have you lost, 60 pounds?
Well, when I moved to Nashville, which is, it'll be 8 years this July.
Yeah.
I weighed 216 pounds.
Yeah.
Basically the same as Tim McGraw used to weigh.
Uh-huh.
When we both looked in the mirror and said, who is that fat person?
But he did it when his face was 30 feet tall on a movie screen. Yeah. He's got a good excuse.
Yeah. But so I'm now down to 166. I've lost 50 pounds in 7 years.
Wow.
And just in the past year, I think a year ago, I was weighed at about 180.
Mm-hmm.
But then I put on more weight after that. But now I'm down to 160.
Well, but you got hurt and had to stop working out. I remember that.
Yeah, but not for, it was my back that went up, but that wasn't for that. I'm never more than a couple of days away from the gym. But,
right.
But I'll tell you the secret, in the past 6 months is when I've lost probably 15, 20 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, because Invisalign.
You have to eat everything through a straw.
Yeah. with Invisalign in, those are the invisible teeth straightener things.
Right. It looks like just a piece of plastic that snaps around your teeth. But they're braces, basically.
You have to wear them 22 hours a day.
Yeah.
So, and it's a pain because if you take them off and eat something, then you got to brush your teeth and floss like crazy to make sure there's nothing there and then snap them back in. So it's like a little bag of chips. Do I really want to go through the hassle? Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for a somewhat expensive diet method, Invisalign.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
Yeah, not cheap.
Not cheap.
And working out, I changed gyms. I'm now at Planet Fitness. Mm-hmm, we both go there.
Right.
Just complete changeover.
This year is really a year of change. I think this is really going to be an interesting year for country music, for both of us, for everything. So, speaking of change, we should probably mention the fact that our guest this week, really has created a wind of change in Nashville when she created her business. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into this here in just a second in detail, but she created it, started to build it up. It is now something that tourists come to town to sample. Now she sold and backed away a little bit, and now that business is a little bit in trouble. So we're going to talk to
Gigi Butler.
She's of Gigi's Cupcakes. Yeah. Now, if you're a big fan of Nashville and follow along, you know Gigi's Cupcakes is now one of those things up there with Nashville hot chicken.
Yeah, it's U.S. It's nationwide here in the United States. And she's been noting a shift change in the way business is done for her.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason we got together to talk to her was her new book. She's got a book out about being an entrepreneur, and it's got entrepreneur tips. And it has a recipe at the end of every chapter.
So yeah. There you go. Recipe at the end. Now, the cool thing about it is if you're here in Nashville or have been following it at all, Gigi's Cupcakes in Nashville really created the, I don't know what you'd call it, the de novo business, the small independent mom and pop business food thing here in Nashville really has exploded. We are now known in the United States as one of the food cities, a place where you go to get fine cuisine, but it's usually small niche shops that serve specific things. Like there's a place here that does nothing but grilled cheese and tomato soup, but they do it in 50 different ways. And stuff like that. Well, she is one of the businesses with Gigi's Cupcakes that really started that movement.
Yeah.
And since then, you've seen everything in the world here has popped up as an individual shop. Yeah. I mean, you can get everything from, there's a store that's just milkshakes. There's a store that's, you know, just salads. Yeah. It's just rice.
It's all about micro rather than macro. You don't.
Yeah, rather than having a huge menu with all these options, you go into this place for one thing done right.
And it's funny, if you're a football fan, you know, NFL fan, two of the Titans players own a Gigi's Cupcakes franchise.
Yep. And there's a big commercial that they run about it now,
too. National. It's national. It's, yeah, but it's for a computer that's not a Mac, so therefore you have to be kind of doubtful of it. But
either way, we're going to be talking to Gigi today, so that's going to be a really interesting conversation. Now, she doesn't play any instruments or anything, because we're going to talk about her book, but it's something, if you're really into Nashville, if you want to come and check it out and want to do, this is one of those places that should be on your checkoff list to go and do while you're here, you know? It's one of the local things that started here. It is nationwide now. It's really, really good, and we're going to talk to her.
I know the one Midtown, because it's right near Hattie B's Hot Chicken. Mm-hmm. We're plugging all sorts of people this week.
Right.
People line up. I've seen lineups outside of Gigi's Cupcakes.
Yes, yeah, like half a block long.
For cupcakes.
Cupcakes, yeah. And that's all they do. So we'll get into that. That is the conversation we're going to have. But there was something happened.
This is a rant.
This is more of a rant than anything, but it's something that happened, and we just wanted to talk about it because we talk about it all the time. We want you to comment. We want your input. We want to know what you think. There are no wrong answers. Just, you know, talk to us. If you don't like something, tell us. By all means, we want to know what you don't like, why, and we'll work, you know, that kind of stuff. But then there's a separate class of troll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is absolutely infuriating when it happens because it's such a cowardice point of view.
No doubt this person still lives with his mother. In her basement, and has nothing but time on his hands, and hides behind a computer, so he can't be challenged. We interviewed an artist recently, and she was on one of our podcasts recently. But she's a rising artist. Mm-hmm. She's not, by all means, not the finished product yet.
No, but still young, still building.
But we like to support rising artists, people that have a cool story. And this guy, who I'm not going to mention his name because that would just give him the celebrity he's after.
It's the action we want to talk about.
He shared the Facebook Live interview, but then put a comment about how
it was just absolute negativity.
A negative comment.
It was just awful.
And first of all, if you don't like something that we do, like Dallas said, send us a private message or make a comment.
Like, absolutely.
No, I'm not really a fan of this person.
You know, I can't believe you guys did this. Yeah. I'm upset. Here's why. Yeah. We will respond. We'll talk to you about it. We'll create a dialogue.
But to go out of your way to share it and
so that it can't be deleted.
So we can't delete it. To share that video and make one single negative comment about the artist being a train wreck.
Getting personal.
That artist that you're calling a train wreck has moved countries. She's from Canada. She moved here to Nashville. She's paying her dues singing on Lower Broadway. Mm-hmm. And scraping enough money together to get into the studio. She's at the beginning of her career.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of promise there. But to come out and do that and make a point of slamming somebody like that is shameful. It's repulsive. It's repugnant. And I'm just...
Yeah,
verklempt.
It's to me, that's a very cowardly way to go about voicing your displeasure because it completely takes you out of the line of fire, and it's just negative, negative, negative for the simple reason of being negative. Yeah. That is the entire goal of doing what this guy did is simply to hurt. It's to damage someone else. And it is the most cowardly, ridiculous, like you said, repugnant thing to do. So by all means, we want your comments. Yeah. We want you to talk to us. If we do something you don't like, we want to know that you don't like it and why. And we will talk to you about it. And if we're wrong, we'll tell you we're wrong. And we'll even probably say it on the air and go. But I mean, to do what this guy did is just nothing.
And it didn't even quantify, you know, anything negative about the performance. It was just essentially, I don't like this person and neither should you. And that is, I mean, not every artist we interview is going to be everybody's cup of tea.
No.
Not every artist you see interviewed on TV or by networks.
Especially in the beginning of your career.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're first getting started, she's still in training, people. Mm-hmm. You may think when you come to town you're ready. You're not ready.
Yep.
I don't care how good you are. You're not ready because there are nuances and there are things about this industry and pieces of it that no one talks about until you get in it. And until you get in it, you don't really know that this is what you want to do. I have met thousands of young kids that have come to town and that, you know, the labels or management people have come to me and said, hey, can you work with this guy or this girl? They're, you know, they're young, they're new, they want to get into this. And so we basically put them through the paces for a year and 70%
fail.
Not just fail, they'll come back and say, look, this is not what I thought it was. I don't want to do this anymore. Which is a totally understandable thing because once you go down and work on Lower Broadway as a Broadway musician or artist for a year, it's boot camp. I've said that 100 times, but it's boot camp. It's doing your craft 8 to 12 hours a day, whether it's singing, playing guitar, playing drums, playing piano, violin, bass, whatever. It's doing it nonstop all day, every day for very little to no recognition, even less money. And you're doing it so that you're honing your craft and you're learning how to do it.
And when people from the United States move to Nashville, they can work at other jobs while they're trying to make it down on Broadway or make it with their music career. Mm-hmm. They can do other jobs. When an artist is coming from Canada or any other country, their visa only allows them to do what the visa is for, and that is be an artist. Mm-hmm. So they have no way of being able to say, I'll go wait tables or work in a bar. They can't do that.
Yeah.
They are only allowed to perform. So she's having to bust her backside down on Lower Broad, making money, working for tips.
For tips. That's what you work for. You don't get paid. When you play a bar on Lower Broadway, you make what comes out of the tip jar. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what you get. And the problem is the market's flooded here musically because if you're a bar in Nashville, why would you pay a band when you got 35 lined up out the door that'll do it for free just for tips?
Which is
was awful. That's a whole different podcast.
In and of itself. But this is the reality of Nashville. So, and it particularly bugs me because I came from another country. And it was a different situation, but I know what it's like to come to Nashville and not know anybody and be building basically from scratch and risking everything to start here. And this girl is working her ass off and trying to make music. And this
guy,
I won't even say human being because he brings down the entire species has the audacity to share something and make a negative comment about that artist. You, sir, should seek psychiatric help.
Yes, there you go. That's the diagnosis. Mm. All right. So anyway, that's kind of what we just wanted to talk about. If we want to communicate with you, whatever you think, good or bad, talk to us. Come to us. You want to pick on us? By all means. Come at me, bro.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You know, and if you send a message or even put it on our page, you know, I'm curious as to why you interviewed this person. I'll tell you. And one of the main criteria for me choosing interviews is a story. Any artist can go anywhere and talk about their hot new single. I don't care. I want a story. I want that interest, the thing that's going to make people relate to that artist. And I'm in no position justifying my decision to do that interview at all. But she had a great story and is working hard. And for somebody to go out of their way just is insulting.
Yeah.
And I had to get that off my chest because I was in fear. And I had no recourse because this guy shared it, so I couldn't delete it.
Yeah, there's nothing to get. We can't, you know. But the point is, guys, let's keep it fair, Riff.
Yep.
You want to come at me or him, by all means do it. We'll talk to you about it.
Yeah.
And we'll listen to what you have to say. But when you do cowardly crap like just forward the post and share it and put something negative on there just so you can spread your negativity and your brain vomit, then we can't condone that.
And the great thing about Nashville is all these artists, no matter how good or bad they are, support each other. They've got each mm-hmm. other's backs. It's a community here.
Yeah.
And
you don't even have to like the person you're working with, but if they're on your team, that's your team.
Yeah. And for an outsider who probably watched maybe 5 minutes of the interview and mm-hmm. performance and made that comment, you're not worthy of our time.
Anymore.
Exactly.
All right, stick around. We're going to talk to Gigi Butler next.
You're listening to the Nashville Access Podcast with Dallas and Cameron.
Nashville has kind of become, I don't know if you want to call it a mecca, but it's definitely a destination in America now, in here in the States, as a place you come when you want to get some interesting food, fine cuisine that is very niche, that is very specific.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is created here. It's a bunch of this fusion foods where they're putting different styles together and things. And then, but it all really started 10, 12 years ago, 15, something like that, when people like Gigi Butler decided to make a cupcake place.
Yeah.
Now, she came to town for something completely different.
She wanted to be an artist.
Yeah.
And she mentions that. She came here as an artist and was, this goes back to what the rant was about, while she was trying to be an artist, she was cleaning toilets.
Yep.
She was a housekeeper. She had her own housekeeping business. And then one day thought, cupcakes are a whole bunch more fun than toilets. and started her business. And it celebrates its 11th anniversary in February.
Yeah. And she was one of the first niche businesses like that that really started to take off. A lot of folks around, that are outside of Nashville now know Nashville hot chicken. It's this thing. It's basically just spicy chicken. It's just hot. Yeah. Just, spicy hot. But Gigi's Cupcakes was right behind, right on their heels, and really capitalized on this niche market of food in Nashville. And so we're going to talk to Gigi Butler about that and get her full story. It's an amazingly interesting story. And it's also very indicative of what happens in this town. When you may come because you think you want to be an artist, be a songwriter, be a producer, be an agent, be a manager, whatever. But 75 to 80% of the time, when you get here, there are other things that appear in this industry, jobs and specific avenues that you didn't even know existed. And that's usually the ones you end up going down.
She's a single mother, started two businesses from the ground up. She tells a great story, and she's got a book out about being an entrepreneur and how to succeed, or her advice on how to succeed. She's a real sweetheart. Gigi Butler. We hope you enjoy the interview.
Gigi Butler.
Hi there.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
It's great to have you.
It's nice to be in town. Be doing gigs in town.
Yeah, because you're all over the
place. I'm done traveling for the year, which is great. Yes.
Nice. You are most famous for Gigi's Cupcakes.
For the cupcakes,
which we have
there.
There
we have. I opened my first store February 21st, 2008, so almost 11 years ago. Wow. Right down the street, downtown Broadway in Nashville, and with $33 left in my name, I had no money, had taken out $100,000 cash advances on my credit cards because no one would give me a loan, and just went for it. And almost 11 years later, we have more than 100 stores in 25 states,
wow.
And we've sold over 100 million cupcakes.
Okay, now I have to ask a question. Yeah. If you eat the icing off the top of the cupcake, it then becomes a muffin. And
right.
Muffins are healthy, right?
Well, muffins are the people that believed in miracles, and then they became a cupcake. Yes, I just got a comment the other day from this guy that went to the store. He's like, there's just so much icing. I'm like, scrape it off. It's really for women, because women love icing, but scrape it off. There's enough for you to choose how much you want.
They are really good, too.
Thank you.
What made you decide that the world needed a store that just sold cupcakes?
Well, my brother went to New York City and stood in line at a cupcake shop and called me while I was cleaning a client's bathroom. I had a cleaning business, Gigi's Cleaning Company, at the age of 15, and moved here to sing and write music and then clean during the day. And I was cleaning a client's bathroom, and my brother's like, you should open a cupcake shop. You love cupcakes. Your cupcakes are better than theirs. I'm like, what? I'm cleaning a toilet right now. I can't talk to you. And he's like, you should try it. And the backstory that a lot of people don't know is that my great-great-grandmother in the turn of the century in Oklahoma started her first bakery called Bill's Bakery. Mm. And so it's just in the blood. Everyone bakes in my family. I just never knew I'd be doing it for a living.
Yeah, and you're kind of a serial entrepreneur. You've done
kind of starting at 7.
Yeah. And you've been an artist, a singer, songwriter.
Right. Since 7.
Wow.
Yeah, and I love to create. Mm-hmm. And so what people ask me now is, well, do you write songs anymore? I'm like, no, I write cupcake flavors. And I write the names, and so I used to wake up in the night and have a song, and it'd just be playing in my mind, and I'd write it down by my bed. But now it's like, ooh, I've got a great idea for a cupcake. Oh, this would be great with this. I'll call it this. So I'm creating. It's just a different form.
How was when you started the cupcake business, did it take off right away, or did it take a while to build?
It actually took off the day I opened my doors.
Really?
I opened my doors, and I was praying to God, God, please bring customers. I had no, and people were like, you have got to do some marketing. I said, I have $33. Mm-hmm. I don't have marketing money. But I opened my doors, and lines just formed. And I was in business by that day. And then my landlord, who didn't believe me, had to beg and badger him for months. He came and he's like, you know, I have franchise experience. You should franchise this concept. I'm like, what's a franchise? So I had to read about it, and I'm like, let's do it. So in 6 months, we started Gigi's Franchising.
Wow.
And within the year, we had 3 stores. The second year, 2009, we had 8 stores. 2010, we had 35 stores. And I went from literally cleaning houses to being a CEO of a company grossing $42 million in 3 years.
Wow.
It was the most bizarre. And I'm a single mom, have a child on my own. She's 7, and I've taken her everywhere. You know? Mm-hmm. So it's just been a really interesting 10 years. I can't describe it. It's so bizarre.
It seems really fast for a business to take off. But a lot of businesses today, it seems, will hit and take off really fast.
Right.
At least the ones that you hear about. The ones that you don't hear about don't take off quite so fast.
Yes, that was a little lacking. I think it's social media now. I think you could get in the world, like people in London, people in Australia, and I was on Undercover Boss. Mm-hmm. So that's now being syndicated. And so all these people from all over the world Instagram me, because everyone can do it. Everyone can, no matter what part of the country you're in, you can have Facebook fans or Instagram friends instantly.
Now, you've got a book that, you know, people are always asking you, you know, what's the secret to your business?
Right.
You've got a book now.
It's called The Secret Ingredient and Recipes for Success in Business and in Life. And it talks about my story and how things happened and why. And then it has a business lesson at the end of every chapter. Mm-hmm. And it also has a family recipe.
Oh, cool.
Savory, sweet. So they are legit recipes. Mm-hmm. So these are amazing recipes that I've worked on for years.
You didn't leave out one main ingredient?
No, I didn't actually. They are actually the ingredients. And I've already had, it just came out 2 weeks ago, and, oh, we can't wait to try these recipes. I'm like, I hope you do, because they're really made with love, and they're really my favorite recipes.
Was that your own idea to come out with a book, or because quite often it comes from somebody saying, you should share your secret with somebody else.
Right, right. I think that's how it was. They were like, you should really share your secret of success and how it worked and what you did right, what you did wrong. So the book talks about that, like just failing forwards, getting up, keep doing it. Tenacity is really one of the secrets.
You think that's what's really made you who you are? Is that, okay, this plan didn't work, so let's try this one and see if it works.
I think the secret to success that most people don't know and most people don't understand in this world is that it's all about getting up, dusting yourself off, and being able to transition into something different and having the courage to just go for it. People are so afraid of failure. Like, mm-hmm. it inhibits them to do anything. They're just scared to death to fail.
It's a big word, failure.
It is a big word. But if people realize that we have one life, we have one chance, one shot to do something, and if something's gnawing at you in your gut, you should do it. Because I think that that's what you're meant to create. So many people don't do it.
Trying to get my head around somebody saying, I'm going to make cupcakes. and saying, not just make cupcakes, right. But open a store, yeah. And sell cupcakes, and people will come.
Right.
That just seems...
Everyone said the same exact thing. I had 75 cleaning clients at the time, mm-hmm. And... they said to, you know, I said, oh, I'm going to, I had a very successful clean for lots of music stars, lots of people in the industry. And everyone said, bless her little. What? Now that's Southern.
In the Southern way.
Let me translate that for you. That's like, dear Lord, I hope she didn't quit her day job. But it was like, oh my God, you can't do this. Yeah. What are you? You're crazy. I'm like, you know what? I am. But I have to follow what my gut is telling me. I have to follow this through. And if I fail, I fail.
Is that the driving focus for you, is follow your gut in everything? Do you use that in everything?
I do, in everything. If it just keeps gnawing at me, I'm like, you know, okay, I have to create. Because we are made to create. Mm-hmm. We are people and creations from God that creates things. So if we don't do what we're made to do, and fulfill our purpose? Are we living out our purpose that way? So, yes, I tell people I'm just an advocate for create, do it. Who cares if you fail? Pick yourself up. So, and people, I hope people in this book understand that it's not something to be afraid of. It's something to feel as a challenge.
Because we are brought up as, you know, God help you if you fail.
Right.
You know.
Right, we are.
It's like being brought up on the edge of a cliff and saying, play it safe and you're not going to fall off the edge.
That is a great description of it. Yes.
I came up with it.
That's awesome. That is an awesome way of thinking about it, because that's how we are raised.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just play safe. Oh, be in this little crowd. Be one of the sheep. Follow around. Do this. No. If you are the black sheep, go out. Jump over that fence.
Do you use fear as a motivator? Is that kind of, you know, I'm afraid to just follow the crowd, so I have to do something. So fear is a motivator, just kind of in a backwards way.
Yeah, it is. Wow, you are...
He's just coming up with them today.
I'm prophetic with an F.
Very prophetic. Wow, yes, that is exactly, that is the motivator. I'm so afraid that the age of 90, I'll be, God willing, I'm there, sitting on my rocking chair going, what if? My thing is, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Just do it. And people, I had another Facebook person say, you know, I tried something and I failed. You know, I went after what you said. I'm good for you. How did it feel? Do it again. And they're like, what do you mean? Do it again. I'm glad you took my advice. Keep going.
Yeah,
keep failing.
Everybody
keep
always sees the E equals MC squared.
Right.
They don't see the equations.
Right.
That is, he's like, that didn't work.
Did you take your brain pill?
He is on. You know what? I think he's motivated by the cupcakes.
They said, it's
like,
just
he.
They put something extra in the coffee this morning, too, I think.
That's funny. Yeah.
He doesn't even know what E stands for.
Energy. You know, energy is on it, man.
It's the C that I forget all the time. Energy equals mass, and then I can't remember what the C stands for. I failed science.
That's great.
So you import a lot of these feelings in the book.
Right, I do.
And how is the book being received so far? It's been out for a couple of weeks now.
I think it's doing really well. Yeah. I think there's so many people out there that want to learn how, and they want to learn through someone that just cleaned houses, or someone mm-hmm. that's like them, someone that's a normal person that worked hard, that kept moving, kept going, and found the American dream. So I think it's really resonating with a lot of people because they're like, well, she can do it.
Yeah.
I can do it.
And people forget. You see people like, you know, the Bill Gates of the world
right.
and all these people as kind of these pseudo-celebrities that they right. become, and you forget that they started, you know, making printers in their garage,
right.
you know,
right.
or cleaning toilets
right.
in Nashville.
I wasn't an Ivy League scholar. I didn't go to an amazing cooking culinary school. I just worked hard.
Doesn't that take some real stones to say, you know, I didn't go to any school to learn how to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Right. I went to the School of Hard Knocks. Yeah. I have like 20 degrees in that.
That's
actually.
In Knoxville. Hard Knocks. Okay, I can't win them all. Not everyone's goal. So you've also translated this into being kind of a celebrity spokesman for different products.
Right.
Give them a plug in. And tell us how that came about.
I am so thrilled. I am the face of a cabinet company mm-hmm. called Serenade Cabinets. Mm-hmm. And they rock.
Yeah.
And it's Armstrong Company.
Cool.
And the CEO followed me on Instagram. I met him. He lives here in Nashville. I met him at a barnyard party with all these group of people and talked and said hi, and I thought, oh, you make cabinets, good for you. And so I cleaned cabinets. Well, we have something in common. He's like, what do you mean you clean cabinets? I'm like, honey, I've cleaned more surfaces than any human being on the planet. And he's like, huh. So he started following me on Instagram, and then about 6 months later he's like, you know, I really think you should be the spokesperson for this company because you're so authentic. Because they could hire a supermodel to lay on a cabinet and and be like, oh, have you ever cleaned one? Come yeah. on.
And
have
you don't want to be one? You don't want to keep cleaning up the supermodel
box. Right. Have you ever have you ever used one? Have you ever actually opened a cabinet and cooked something? So he's like, wait a minute, you've cooked, you've cleaned all these. This is a great, and he's an amazing visionary. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you should be the face of our brand. And I said, I should. Because I love cabinets. I mean, that's what I live in a kitchen.
Yeah.
I've designed hundreds of kitchens.
Really? Okay.
Well, because of Gigi's.
Yeah, I guess you have to
my dad
in
and
store.
I, right. My dad and I, in the beginning, we designed every store across the country. And we'd lay out the cabinets and lay out the tables. And so, I mean, I could walk into a kitchen and go, oh, well, okay, this needs to be here. You know, any kitchen, because I've cleaned thousands of kitchens. Mm-hmm. Thousands of kitchens. I've literally cleaned 65,000 toilets with these hands.
And they don't even look that
I've got some scars and calluses. I use really good lotion. Thank you, Gold Bond.
They're like new.
I'm going to be the spokesperson for Gold Bond one day. I'm telling you, I am their person.
There you go.
So, I've cleaned all those homes. And so it was just a really good fit. I love them. And they love me. And we're just going across the country talking about cabinets and why Serenade is the best.
Why are they the best?
Well, they have 11% more storage. They are custom built, and they are eco-friendly, and they are amazing.
You passed, because I did the research, and I saw all the
It is amazing. I mean, they're eco-friendly. Everyone is so worried about that in our country, especially in all parts of the world. Oh, we need something. Well, hello, here's your cabinet for you.
Cool.
It's made in the USA, 100%.
Buy American. Unless, of course, you live in another country.
Then you buy yours. But buy American as well.
Yeah. Did you ever see yourself as this kind of celebrity? Because being an entrepreneur, writing your book,
right.
you know, being the face of another company, you've kind of gone into that celebrity-ish status. Did you ever...
Well, I always wanted to be a country music singer, so I kind of did at seven.
We started at the same time, because I started playing pedal steel when I was seven.
I love pedal steel.
But I, you know, my seven was earlier than your seven.
You look, I don't know, probably not that much earlier. You look like one of those guys.
Totally uncoordinated.
I love pedal steel. Anything with pedal steel, that's why you like George Strait so much.
That's right.
He's got it in every song.
The rhythm of pedal steel.
The guys that couldn't get dates always played pedal steel.
Was it that, or because you played pedal steel, you couldn't get dates?
That's my secret, and I'm keeping it. It seems like... I get kind of sidetracked by ideas here, but it seems like... You've just gone from this kid who was 7 years old and wanted to be a country star to this pseudo-celebrity. And when you look at the span of things, it's not, it's like that, really.
Yeah.
Does it scare you that it's gone so fast?
It does. It does scare me because life is so fleeting, and I see it through my daughter. She's seven now. Mm-hmm. She's been on 72 plane flights, and she was, you know, literally has her own Southwest number. And it's like, how are you growing? And I think when you see your children, you can see how time is just, you know, swifting by. It's amazing. So with that, I count, because before her, I was always rushing, working, because to me, work results, mm-hmm. work results. And so now it's like, wait a minute, maybe it isn't all just physical work. Maybe I need to step back and really enjoy life mm-hmm. and enjoy what I've created. And I have a hard time doing that. And I'm really focusing on being present and doing that and breathing, like, just enjoying.
What do you do in your downtime when you're not thinking cupcakes and books and cabinets?
I love to be a mom. I'm a full-time mom, and she goes with me everywhere. And I love to walk. I love to work out, because I have to balance the cupcakes, because I love sweets. So to be able to fit through the door, and that's what I talk about in the book as well, is so many people say, how can you be in the bakery? How could you do this and not be huge? And I say it's a balance. Balance is a key, and I've learned that the hard way through eating so many cupcakes. And I gained 73 pounds with my daughter.
Wow.
So I had to really focus. And I had to really focus on, okay, how can I balance? So we talk about that in the book. And I love to walk. I love to read. I love to travel, but I'm on the road traveling a lot. I love experiencing new things. I love outdoors. I love canoeing. I love water sports. I love camping, other than sleeping on the ground. Don't like that kind of camping. Anything. I love the camping stuff until 10 o'clock, and then get me a bed.
Yeah. As soon as I discovered room service, I'm not doing any of this camping.
That's right.
I had a boss that always said, know when to go home. And I think that's kind of what you're saying, is know when to step back and say, okay, that's business. Let me take a breath and do something else.
Right. I think so many people get so focused on, oh, I've got to do more. Well, do you? Are you missing? And I've had to learn that the hard way, and I talk about that in the book. Like, how can, as people that are so driven, because I'm a very driven human being, mm-hmm. how can I just be and just enjoy people, enjoy life? So it talks about that. I think that's been one of the hardest challenges of my life, because through my identity was working hard,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't love myself enough to go, you know, I don't have to always prove things to people. I could just be. And it's been, you know, it's a journey.
Yeah.
It's a journey.
And I suppose you're constantly learning about, I mean, we talked earlier off camera about how the market is changing all the time and how the business models are constantly changing.
Right.
And you've got to be able to adapt to that.
You have to. I think you have to stick to what works for you and mm-hmm. what your people know you for. But if you don't evolve and become, you die.
Yeah.
So I think we're always evolving, and you got to learn this now, Gigi. I don't know why. But if I don't learn it, if I don't learn how to do Facebook or Instagram or learn how to change with my market, mm-hmm. then will I be a dinosaur? Probably.
Yeah, and we all know what happened to them.
Right. So we have to always continue to evolve, and that's why it's great to have young people around you, mm-hmm. because they have these great ideas all the time. And it's great to have older people around you. Because
people have forgotten that.
They're the ones that know the stuff. Now, the other ones, you can learn all of the new gadgets and the thing. But it's the people. Well, I got my church. I mean, this 90-year-old man said something so prophetic the other day. I was like, ah, that's true. He's like, you've got to stop. Stop. Breathe. Okay, I'll take that. Thank you. So I think we should always be learning from every walk of life.
Cool. The book is out now.
Yes.
It is called...
The Secret Ingredient.
And it's by Gigi Butler. Go and get it, because great recipes and a lot of great advice for living and being an entrepreneur.
Right.
Cool.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And make sure you go to Gigi's Cupcakes, because we're going to dig into these later.
100 stores in 25 states. Come and get some. Website is, all my handles are official Gigi Butler on Facebook and Instagram, and my website is gigibutler.com, and you can get in touch with me through there and ask questions. I'm doing lots of, I always answer. So cool. I always answer. So ask me anything.
It's a thrill having you here, really.
Thank you
not
so
just
much.
For the cupcakes.
Yeah, that's in the back of your mind why you wanted me on this.
Thanks again for joining us.
Finding success stories like that is getting easier and easier to do in Nashville. But the cool part about it is when you get to talk to somebody like her that is the epitome of grandfathered in to that clause, because she really was one of the catalysts in this town that started that whole niche food scene. So Gigi, you're an amazing, amazing lady. And we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for sitting down and talking to us. That was amazing.
Yeah. Cool lady.
She's interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, stick around because next week we're back with another Nashville Access podcast. And I think you're going to dig the guest. She's amazing too. So I am Dallas.
And I'm Camo.
And this is the Nashville Access podcast. Bye-bye.
Listen to Nashville Access every week on your favorite radio station. The hottest country music, interviews with the biggest stars, our Texas turnaround, Nashville Access News, the top three country songs in the world, and our Nashville Access Super Pick. Connect with Nashville Access on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And watch Nashville Access TV over on our YouTube channel. Thanks for listening to the Nashville Access Podcast with Dallas and Cameron.